May 2023, the authorities claimed. Their total annual capacity is estimated at 33 billion cubic meters of natural gas. Also, RT reported, France's largest glass manufacturer, Duralex, has suspended operations for 5 months due to soaring electricity prices. The company's CEO, José Luis Lacana, told BFM TV channel recently, "Our gas and electricity bills have risen from 3 to 13 million euros a year. The price of energy usually represents 5% to 7% of our turnover. Today, it is around 46%. It is not tenable," he explained, adding that the company's operation had become non-viable as it is unable to make a profit after such a staggering outlays for energy, in addition to paying salaries and procuring raw materials. He added that during the five-month closure, Duralex employees would continue to receive 95% of their salaries, 70% of which will be covered by the state. The head of the company noted, however, that its warehouses are currently sufficiently stocked to survive the winter and not cause a shortage of its goods on the market. Earlier, France's largest aluminum smelter, Aluminium Dunkerque, said it would cut production by about 20% due to rising energy prices. Another glass manufacturer, Arc, also said it would lower output and move a number of employees to part-time work. Meanwhile, Bloomberg wrote, the European Union is trying to determine whether it's feasible to use the assets of the Russian Central Bank that have been frozen by member states to finance Ukraine, Bloomberg reported recently. The discussions are at an early stage and legal experts have been asked to look into possible options, the outlet wrote, citing people familiar with the matter. Some $300 billion belonging to the Russian Central Bank were frozen by the EU, the US, and their allies as part of anti-Russia sanctions. Any EU action would deal with assets held in Europe, Bloomberg says, adding that the last month, European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen said that the EU wanted to confiscate Russian assets in order to use them for the reconstruction of Ukraine, but admitted that establishing a legal base for such a move was tricky. U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said in May that seizing the assets was not something legally permissible in the United States. Russia strongly criticized the freezing of funds, with Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov accusing the West of essentially committing theft.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents
Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint.
A critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sister Asma and Sayyid Abdullah helping me as guest speakers in the program, criticizing the movie June, produced in 2021, directed by Denis Villeneuve. Sister Asma, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And Sayyid Abdullah, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, it's a pleasure.
You're welcome, pleasure is always ours. Well, before me asking you questions regarding a part of the movie, let's take a listen to a short part of the movie, June, producing 2021, and then we'll be back with this critique. Don't go away. Back to the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. Well, we are criticizing the movie June, produced in 2021, directed by Denis Villeneuve. And there is this part, Sayyid Abdullah, you know, Paul's mother, Jessica.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever she's in trouble, she says, like, she chants a few words or a phrase or an expression, if you will.
Yeah.
Fear is the mind killer. I must not fear. Fear is the little death that brings total obliteration. What's fear, first of all, Sayyid Abdullah, you know?
Mm.
And, you know, I mean, what is she afraid of, basically? And why do they chant it like a spell whenever they go into trouble?
Okay, so when you talk about fear, fear is just basically it's the uncertainty of what's going to happen next. When you are uncertain of what's going to happen, that's what gives you fear. So they constantly...
But there are lots of things that we don't know anything about, especially when it comes to future events.
Mm.
Future holds in store lots of other things which are strange to us. And
if you look at say, for example, if you talk about the future itself and what's going to happen, it creates a sense of fear, but at a very minimum level.
You mean it's relative?
It's very relative. But if you, for example, if I am in a situation,
mm-hmm.
for example, if we are in a spaceship or we're in a plane and things are going wrong,
right?
Then fear sinks in because I put in my mind the chances of us falling down and mm-hmm. crashing is very high.
I see.
So my level of fear just jumps high. So even when you go in a plane normally,
mm-hmm.
like there's a sense of fear that things might go wrong,
mm-hmm.
and you kind of have that fear in the back of your head, but it just sits there quietly. As the turbulence has to happen, that fear jumps.
Mm-hmm.
And if things go really wrong, then that fear takes over. So
you're talking about adrenaline going high, right?
No. Like I'm talking about the plane itself. Like when you go through turbulence, you know,
right.
People start to get scared and stuff like that. So that's what fear is. So fear is basically the unknown of what's to come mm-hmm. next. Now, it could, like I said, if it's far away, that is very relative, becomes very less. If it's very close, very near, then that fear becomes a lot higher. So just that uncertainty of what's going to happen, create that sense of fear. Once a person becomes in a sense of fear, we, as a human being, we've been programmed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that when we fall in a sense of fear and a sense of unknown, we kind of want to attach ourselves to something that gives us hope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, when this atheist came to him and says to him, "Prove to me that God exists." The Imam says to him, "Have you been in a ship? Did the ship try to sink? This and that." The man said, "Yes, yes." He said, "Okay, at the moment before you drowned, did your heart wanted to cling to something?" He mm-hmm. says, "Yeah, I felt like I wanted something, someone to help me." It's like, that's God.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, when we face fear, we want to attach ourselves to something that gives us a bit of hope, it gives us a bit of comfort. And this lady's, Paul's mother, she says, okay, we are in a situation where we could be killed. We can die at any moment.
Mm-hmm.
This guy could, as the emperor could kill us. This army could kill us. The desert could kill us. So there are a lot of dangers.
Right.
So fear is sinking in. So in order for her to get over fear is to attach herself to something else. Mm-hmm. And then start to chant that chanting that you just read, which mm-hmm. means that yeah. it's a form of prayer at the end of the day.
Yeah, true indeed.
But she's stating the obvious,
mm-hmm.
which is fear. But at the end of the day, she's just trying to say that, you know, I have to pray to something that can save me from this fear, can yes. save me from the situation they're in. So it's just a natural human experience that
or
we all
reaction to dangerous or unknown, for example,
yeah.
events that's going
to yeah,
happen.
Yeah, so anything dangerous, anything unknown, anything and uncertain that creates a sense of fear. So, for example, if you sometimes you're in your house, when you sleep and you're alone in the house, and if the room is dark, you start to get scared. And you yeah. have that fear of something could happen.
Yeah.
Like a genie could pop up or right. a djinn or right. a ghost.
Right.
Even though there's not such a thing. But the mind creates it. So you try to say to yourself, convince yourself, like, fear is this, fear is that, fear is not real. Don't put yourself into fear. Fear will kill this. Will fear. So you're trying to comfort yourself.
Yes, exactly.
You know, but to me, it seemed more of an inculcation. It seemed like she was saying that in order to control her thoughts. From the time she had brought that boy, mm. she has taught him to do this as well. When
yes.
the witch came to the woman veiled came to her place, then she also was telling those words behind the door
exactly.
in the fear of something might happen to her son.
Right.
So I think it was the thing that she used as a meditation to control her thoughts in order for nothing to get underneath her skin
yes.
or to bother her, deviate her thoughts from what she's doing, because they were some special sort of creatures.
Exactly.
They have worked so much on their thoughts and they were so strong. So I think that was the reason.
Exactly.
Another reason.
Yeah, so she's trying to comfort herself at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah, trying
and
to seek comfort.
This is what, you know, Muslims are taught sometimes to, you know, chant some remembrances, some phrases, in fact, when it comes to trouble, you know.
So
when
fear is a part of a human nature.
Exactly.
Whether you're a normal human being, an imam, or a prophet.
Yeah, even psychologists.
So even
but she wasn't mentioning
idea,
any specific person or deity or anything like
she
that.
She wasn't, but she was saying it in a way where it's like it's in a poetic form,
mm-hmm.
which means it's not just her.
To comfort her.
It's like, keep calm. You know, sometimes when you get like you tell yourself, keep calm, relax, nothing mm. is nothing. But she was doing it in a way where it's poetic, meaning that it's a form of supplication. But she's not doing it to God, she's doing it to herself. So it's like in a form of atheism.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, yes.
So like I said, when it comes to fear, even like we have Salatul Ayat, right?
Yes,
so the prophet says if the moon
yeah.
and the eclipse and solar eclipse and lunar eclipse, if it happens, wind and red wind. These causes fear to man.
Yeah.
Even the natural thing, they're not gonna harm me in any way.
Yeah, natural disasters.
But it's a sense of create a sense of fear that something
right.
could happen.
Mm-hmm.
So this is go pray Salatul Ayat. Go to God, pray to Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. Have that sense of relaxation, that sense of calmness.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what she was trying to do: keep herself calm. Like I said, she wasn't praying to a deity, but she was praying to herself.
Yeah, and even psychologists, mind you, they always say that you know a certain amount of fear is somehow necessary for a human
required.
Being.
Required.
Yes, to keep them alive, to actually for them to survive, you
exactly.
know, the dangers.
Exactly. So we say
right.
there's a balance. So bravery itself, if you go extreme, it becomes
extremity.
Foolish. Foolishness.
Yeah.
If it goes below, it becomes cowardice.
Right.
So
exactly.
the sense of fear, it keeps it balanced.
Yeah.
So you need to have that balance.
Yeah.
So even like we have sayings from the imams that say, oh, we got scared of this, we got scared of that. Even Allah in the Quran, when he talks about Musa, he says he left his family khaifan yataraqab.
Mm-hmm.
He was in a state of fear.
Right.
That Fir'aun could kill him.
Yeah, too
so,
much of
yeah.
everything is always bad. Like
obviously.
When you go to the
you can't
extreme,
go to extremity,
like,
you can't go below.
Like we have phobia, for example, people who are suffering from different kinds of phobia,
phobias,
right?
Yeah.
So that's always a negative thing.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, thank you very much. Let's take a listen to another part of this movie or a trailer of the movie June, produced in 2021, directed by Denis Villeneuve. and then we'll be back. Don't go away.
My planet Arrakis is so beautiful when the sun is low. Rolling over the sands, you can see spice in the air. The outsiders ravage our lands in front of our eyes. Their cruelty to my people is all I've known. What's to become of our world?
Back to the program Viewpoint on RIB English Radio. We are trying to criticize the movie June, produced in 2021, directed by Denis Villeneuve. This is Mohammad Jawad hosting, and my guest speaker in the studio, Sister Asma and Sayyid Abdullah. Well, you know, Sister Asma, well, we are having a major character in this movie, Paul, right? Mm-hmm. And Paul is such a kind of controversial figure if you, you know, look at the history of Christianity and if you study the happenings and the events that happened in early Christianity, we see Paul, you know, coming from atheism to the Christian faith. Is that a coincidence to call or to have Paul, this name, you know, as a kind of controversial figure somehow, you know, in this movie?
Well, I would say nothing happens by coincidence and everything has got a reason, specifically if there's a writing, if there's such a great book behind that.
Right.
So the writer thinks before they write anything. I would say that in order to make it more like the otherworldly sort of a thing, or right, like the thing that when we talk about the savior, we expect him to have a religion or to be sort of a person who is related to divinity. So they have done this because when you're talking of a savior, then that savior has to be related to a god, to a higher power, to an almighty. Then perhaps that's the reason why he doesn't have to be, he couldn't be actually an atheist, because all the people are telling him lisan al-ghayb, or the things that all related to divinity. So he couldn't be an atheist. He must have a religion and be related to it and act accordingly.
But sometimes in some parts of the movie, he refers to what people call him as the lisan al-ghayb as superstitious.
Mm.
You know, he somehow shows his true colors there.
Yes, because as the brother said earlier, it is sort of paradoxical, you know. They're showing him that he is the savior, and when they name the name, when they bring that name Mahdi into the movie,
mm-hmm,
it's clear that they're talking about the savior who is already divine, a right, divine savior, mm-hmm, savior. But then this savior is paradoxical. Sometimes he is like the way they have told us. And sometimes the other way, he stands in front of all those mm-hmm things and call it,
okay,
and calls it superstition. But actually, it is because he was not so into that idea of being the savior.
Right. Sayyid Abdullah, does Mahdi go by different names?
He does.
Do we have it in the tradition?
He does. I mean, in our tradition, Islamic tradition, he has, I don't know, over 100 names. Even there was a certain time where the imams, they put a ban on naming him, because we know his name is Muhammad ibn Hassan, right? Mm-hmm. So the imam said, you're not allowed to say his name by his name.
Right.
So you need to refer to him by something else. So you refer to him al-Mahdi, al-Qa'im, this and that. So we have about, I don't know, over 100 titles for him.
Yeah.
So all these titles, names for the imam. So this is from an Islamic perspective. From, like I said, from other religions, they also call him different names, like the Messiah, for example, mm-hmm, or the Messiah, or like, you know, like each religion would they would have their own name,
right,
for this personality.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Sayyid Abdullah and Sister Asma. Thank you for listening to the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. And hopefully we are going to end the critique of this movie, June, in the next episode, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Food for thought.
Salam, and let us reflect today on an aphorism bequeathed for our guidance from Imam Hassan Askari, peace upon him, the 11th infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. There are two qualities such that there is no quality above them, faith in Allah and the serving of brothers.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Some people believe the internet will soon make paper books a thing of the past. In Iraq, book lovers are fighting back. They have launched a book festival offering thousands of free books to encourage the Arab nation to read more. The festival is called Iraq Reads. It's attracted big crowds. Iraqis stood shoulder to shoulder behind long tables covered in books and flipped through hundreds of titles to find the one catching their interest. Some others gather on necks to the stands to read under a tree, chat about their newest books, or listen to extracts of literature read aloud through a loudspeaker. One of the organizers says they aim to revive the culture of reading books, reading paper books.
It's a crisis all over the world, not only in Iraq. There is a crisis in terms of reading paper books. One of the goals for our festival is to revive the reading of paper books so that the electronic book does not become an alternative of the paper book.
As part of the festival, 70,000 books have been distributed for free across the country so far. The books covering a wide range of topics were donated by partner libraries. The festival is held in 7 provinces in the Arab country. You have probably seen penny farthings in old books and cartoons, the antique bicycle with one very large and one small wheel. Now, this peculiar bike actually brings fans together in Prague each year to show off their skills. The cyclists were all dressed in historical costumes as they rode in formation at Letno Park in Prague. The traditional one-mile race competition was also held to see who could go the fastest while keeping their balance. The riders, mostly elderly men, said they came there for just the fun of it. Penny farthings were invented around 1870 and were popular until models with 2 evenly sized wheels and chains were developed. Most bicycles today are based on this design. Egypt is marking 100 years since the discovery of the tomb of Tutankhamun, a pharaoh who ruled more than 1,300 years B.C.
I was fascinated with the story myself, and every morning in which I was here to pick up our inspector when I was working on a dig in the Valley of the Kings, I would wander around the house trying to imagine what it was like if I had been here in 1922 and could have been a part of that. And now here we are, now that it's restored, I do hope that this will turn into a center of cultural interest for anyone and everyone who wants to visit Egypt and wants to hear more of the story about Howard Carter and the king.
In 1922, British Egyptologist Howard Carter and his team discovered Tutankhamun's nearly intact tomb. That was the start of what became a 10-year project to excavate and conserve more than 5,000 unique artifacts. Tutankhamun's reign lasted barely 9 years in the vast span of ancient Egyptian history. Although his successors tried to erase the king's record from history, the valuable discovery of his tomb has immortalized the boy king.
China is taking the final step in the construction of its Tiangong space station, the second permanently inhabited station in low Earth orbit after NASA's International Space Station. The second and last lap component of the station was launched on Monday. The uncrewed module is called Mengtian, which means dreaming of the heavens. The rocket carrying it blasted off from China's Space Launch Center on the coast of the southern island province of Hainan. The 23-ton Mengtian is an advanced lab and does not have space for sleeping and sanitation. Instead, it has more space to carry payloads for scientific studies. Fan Ping is the chief designer of the project. She says this is a special step towards space research.
I think the Mengtian lab module is quite special, as it is for experiment only, which can be seen as a dedicated studio. There are 13 scientific experiment racks in the module and 37 exposed loading stations outside the module, enabling astronauts to do more extravehicular loading experiments in the future.
The Mengtian module is the last building block of the T-shaped Tiangong station. It has to fly 400 kilometers to join the two-module combination already dispatched into space. Together, the three modules will construct the station, which is designed for a lifespan of at least 10 years.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
It's always a tricky task to remember people's names at a party, but not in this particular gathering in Tokyo, where all the guests had the exact same name, Hirokazu Tanaka. 178 Hirokazu Tanakas came together on Saturday to set a new namesake gathering world record. Their ages spanned from 3 years old to 80. The Guinness World Record for the largest gathering of people with the same first and last name previously belonged to Martha Stewart. 164 people with that name came together in New York in 2005. In the Tanaka's gathering, every man was assigned an alias inspired by their hobbies, occupation, or favorite foods to tell them apart from others. One nicknamed by his birthplace says, "It's strange to meet so many people with the same name." Obviously.
It's a strange feeling to know that there are nearly 200 people with the same name. To be honest, I'd presume there are more popular names out there like Suzuki and Sato. This achievement is really because of the efforts of our organizer.
The man who organized this gathering is a 53-year-old Hirokazu Tanaka who has worked for years to make this happen. He says his quest began in 1994 when he stumbled upon news about a baseball prodigy with the same name. After that, he began tirelessly scouring the nation for his namesakes. He then founded the Hirokazu Tanaka campaign that brought the men together and created a strange friendship among them. Thousands of baby turtles have been released into Peru's Amazon basin in an attempt to preserve the rainforest ecosystem. More than 6,000 hatchlings of three endangered species of turtles have been released into lakes and lagoons in Peru to help them repopulate. To make this happen, wildlife officials collected the eggs from their natural habitat and transferred them to artificial beaches until they hatched. The river turtles are considered vulnerable because for many years they have been killed for human consumption or kept as pets. Scientists are currently trying to conserve the Amazon to avoid catastrophic climate change, and Peru has the second largest share of the rainforest after Brazil. Another world record news. This time it has been set in Switzerland. A Swiss railway company has run the world's longest passenger train with a trip on one of the most spectacular tracks through the Alps. To celebrate its 175th anniversary, Switzerland's rail industry launched the world's longest ever passenger train, measuring around 2 kilometers. The electric train took almost an hour to cover around 25 kilometers over the UNESCO World Heritage Albula line in eastern Switzerland. The Albula line is famous for its endless swooping curves and steep descents. Rail enthusiasts lined the valley to watch the train's 100 cars snake through the Alps. Belgium and the Netherlands were the previous record holders for the world's longest passenger train. They used standard railway through the flat landscapes.
If you enjoy street art, then you'll probably like Iztapalapa district in Mexico's capital city. Nearly 300 neighborhoods in this area are beautifully painted with brightly colored murals for all to enjoy. Visitors can also ride a cable car and take a tour of the art from above. The district is home to nearly 7,000 murals and graffiti painted on all sorts of surfaces, including rooftops. Iztapalapa murals is a project that was promoted by the Mexico City's mayor in 2018. The goal of the project was to recover and dignify public spaces through art and involve neighbors in its creation and conservation. Iztapalapa is one of the poorest municipalities in the capital, and the initiative aims to reduce neighborhood violence through public lighting of the murals during the night.
It is never too late to learn a new skill. That's what 100-year-old Nada Rudan has shown with her art when she discovered her love for painting at the age of 87. The Bosnian native says she started to paint to keep herself busy, and now she finds the days are often too short to fit in everything she wanted to do. The artist paints for 3 hours in the morning and 2 hours in the afternoon without glasses. Rudan marked her 100th birthday with an exhibition of all the works that she has painted over the years.
My 100th birthday, I've celebrated it at sea. That was really a big event for me. Before that, I had an exhibition that I didn't hope for. But my children persuaded me. I was against it. I'm not an artist. I said, children, don't embarrass me.
She says she's inspired by nature and her travel around the globe. Rudan has lived in numerous areas such as Central America, Hawaii Islands, Europe, and the Asian Himalayas, among many other places. The artist survived both World War II and the siege of Sarajevo by Bosnian Serb forces. Iran's Kish Island is known as the paradise of the Persian Gulf. Our correspondent Youssef Jalali has been to the stunning southern Iranian resort island and has filed this report about its beautiful attractions.
It's no land at the heart of a scorching but amazing island. This snow town is one of the latest entertainment centers in Iran's Kish Island in the Persian Gulf. Every year, some 2 million visitors from inside and outside Iran visit the island to enjoy its attractions, from its entertainment centers to its stunning beach.
The beach and the pier in Kish are really peaceful and tranquilizing. It's the third time I'm visiting the island, and I went parasailing, water skiing, and I'm planning to go scuba diving.
Kish Island offers all kinds of sea entertainment activities, from scuba diving to sailing, and oh yes, flyboarding. Besides sea sports, visitors can enjoy its amusement parks and a range of leisure activities inside the island. And if you're a tireless window shopper, Kish is a land of malls and shopping centers.
Kish is an amazing island. It used to be an abandoned island some 3 decades ago, but today it is a luxurious tourist resort with modern buildings and exciting recreational places.
Despite all the pleasure one can have in Kish, the island still has many shortcomings. The major issue annoying visitors is the poor accommodation services.
Hotel facilities and services are a bit weak given the large number of tourists that visit this island. They need to pay more attention to the accommodation infrastructure.
Just a few hundred kilometers away from Kish, there's a tourist magnet in the United Arab Emirates, Dubai, which absorbs the chunk of foreign tourists. While U.S. sanctions on Iran are a major factor to blame for Kish lagging behind in its rivalry with Dubai, the island's officials believe it still has a chance to win the game of tourism against Dubai.
If we want to excel, it is not going to be a tough job. We need to work on two major areas. The first is the infrastructure, and the second is regulations that would allow tourists or investors to easily come to Kish to entertain themselves or do business.
Situated off the southern coast of Iran in the Persian Gulf, Kish is one of Iran's free trade zones. Foreign travelers do not need a visa to visit the island, as travel permits are issued on arrival by Kish officials and are valid for up to 14 days.
With its mesmerizing nature and eye-catching urban landscapes, Kish has earned the title of the Bride of the Persian Gulf. Its authorities say the island is already a hub for Iranian travelers, but they say they seek to turn it into a regional tourist magnet. Youssef Jalali from Kish Island.
Mm-hmm.
today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of the Almighty Allah, dear brothers, dear sisters, Salamun Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. And for today, we're going to speak about paradise in the view of Islam. So I invite you to be with us. Salamu alaykum. Today, Friday, is the 16th of Rabiul Thani, 1444, of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 20th of Aban, 1401, of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 11th of November, 2022, of the Christian Gregorian calendar. These verses, verses 20 to 24 from Chapter Al-Waqi'ah, are precious verses to listen to.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وفاكهة مما يتخيرون
and fruit of what they select
ولحم طير مما يشتهون
and the meat of fowl from whatever they desire. And for them are fair women with large, beautiful eyes. The likenesses of pearls well protected. As reward for what they used to do.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The blessed verses treat of the material blessings in store for the people of paradise who are nearest to divine throne. Saying, youth in paradise shall make available to them whatever kinds of fruits and the flesh of fowls, which they desire. It is worthy of note that the precedence of fruit over flesh is that the former is healthier and consumption of fruit before meal is far better. The divine blessings shall be bestowed upon them because of their righteous good deeds. Such that one may not falsely imagine that such innumerable divine blessings of paradise shall be bestowed upon anyone with no reason. But being accorded such blessings requires unfaltering belief and constant doing of righteous good deeds.
Life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light. You guides me through my darkest nights. Shows me right from wrong and right. That often lies, cause I don't need anyone, anything in life, but you know I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
The topic of this episode is paradise in the view of Islam. In Islam, Jannah
or paradise, is the final abode of the righteous. According to one count, the word appears 147 times in the Quran. Belief in the hereafter is one of the articles of faith, a place where believers or mu'mineen will enjoy pleasure, while the unbelievers will suffer in Jahannam. Both Jannah and Jahannam are believed to have several levels in both cases. The higher the level, the more desirable in Jannah. The hereafter experiences are described as physical, psychic, and spiritual. Jannah is described with physical pleasures such as gardens, wine that has no after effects, and divine pleasures. The reward of pleasure will vary according to the righteous of the person. The characteristics of Jannah often have direct parallels with those of Jahannam. The pleasure and delights of Jannah or paradise described in the Quran are matched by the excruciating pain and horror of Jahannam.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRB English Radio. Assalamu alaikum and welcome. This is your host Ali, and we are with you with another topic. Today, inshallah, we are going to talk about heaven and the abiders of heaven, al-Jannah. Many actions are said by the Quran and Hadith to lead people to the heaven. Men and women are said to be equal in this respect, actually. The most frequently mentioned features of heavenly people in Quran include faith, piety, righteousness, righteous action, obeying God and His Messenger, accepting the truth, purity, and avoiding polytheism. According to Al-Quran, there are also some points to the characters of such people, such as humbleness towards God and people, fear of God, good behavior, and avoiding mundane desires, truthfulness, generosity, truthfulness, keeping one's promises, and financial aids to the needy and the poor, and avoiding arrogance. Some people are said to be prohibited from entering the heaven, such as those who deny divine signs of revelation of God. So I think I have to say goodbye to dear brothers and sisters, and invite you to join us, inshallah, in our upcoming session with another topic to be discussed. Till then, I leave in Allah's protection. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Among the list of pleasures of paradise, no disease and no death. Another cause of pain and suffering in this life is the death of loved one or disease, which are both non-existent in paradise. None will free any sickness or pain in paradise. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said about the people of paradise, they will never fall ill, blow their noses, or spit. None will die in paradise. All shall live eternally, enjoying the pleasures therein. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, said that a caller will call out in paradise when people enter it. Indeed, may you be healthy and never be sick again. May you live and never die again. May you be young and never grow feeble again. May you enjoy and never feel sorrow and regret again.
Mm-hmm.
How to achieve paradise? A simple way. Know who to follow. How easy is it to follow the media, to follow the singers, actors, and fashion instead of sticking to the ways of the Prophet Muhammad? When you feel tempted by your environment, learn from this moment of extreme regret when the people of hell realize that those whom they follow in the world are not able to help them in their pain and deep suffering. In chapter 33 of the Holy Quran, verses 64 to 66, Allah said and has prepared for them a flaming fire wherein they will abide forever, and they will find neither a protector nor a helper. On the day when their faces will be turned over in the fire, they will say, "Oh, would that we had obeyed Allah and obeyed the Messenger."
You see, in the dunya, you may have some of the ni'am of the dunya here also. You can feel them, you can taste them. You can be a king, and you can have thousands of servants, and whatever you crave, they will bring you. Now, obviously not like the Jannah, because even if you're a king, there are things that you will crave and you can't have because they're not there, because it's not available. They couldn't find it for you. In Al-Jannah, whatever you crave, Allah Azza wa Jalla will bring it for you. But in the Jannah, you still, if you are lucky, you have wealth, or you have servants, you can order and you will get what you want. For example, you sit and you plan a beautiful vacation to a resort island, and you stay at the beautiful 5-star Ritz-Carlton there, and you take the presidential suite, and you have so many people there serving you. You have buffet, 3-course meal, 5-course meal, whatever, and the best of the of what the dunya has to offer to you. But the difference between the dunya and the akhirah is that no matter how much ni'am you may have, there is always what? There is always the chance that your fun could be spoiled. You're sitting, you're enjoying yourself in the jacuzzi, all of a sudden you get a phone call from your town, from your city that you came from. What is it? You have a legal problem now. You have a problem in your business. You have a family problem. The school is calling you to telling you your son, your daughter did such and such. And all of a sudden your fun, your party is ruined. In the dunya, yes, there's fun, there's joy, but there is also problems. There's also things that disturb your joy. Or all of a sudden you're eating and your stomach becomes sick. You become sick, you fall ill, and the entire trip is wasted. You don't enjoy it anymore. Or you become depressed. Or worst of all, you could fall and die. So the ni'am, the joys of the dunya, they are intertwined with what? With problems. Can you be for sure guarantee that that 10 days on that resort island, you won't have any problems? No, this is the dunya. Comfort, he created it for the akhirah. Al-Jannah is where there is comfort, paradise. Dunya, it's all about struggles, it's all about problems.
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark, I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further and
dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions at parstoday.com/en. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
You heard was an IRIB English radio program.
Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.